This is the Turf Zone Podcast, your central information and news hub, bringing together professionals from turf associations across multiple states to share things to help you and your business. Brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Tennessee Turfgrass Association. This episode is sponsored in part by BuySod, world-class service on demand. Visit us online at www.buysod.com. Now, let's get in the zone.
Welcome to the Turf Zone. In this episode, we feature an article titled "Industry Leaders Partner with Refuge Lawn to Help Guide Research and Extension Outreach," written by Drs. Eddie Carlos De Castro and Jay McCurdy of Mississippi State University. Turfgrass occupies an estimated 40 to 50 million acres in the United States, approximately 40% of which is maintained lawn around homes, places of business, and institutions. There are numerous environmental and societal benefits of turfgrass in the human-built environment, and the turfgrass industry contributes billions of dollars to the country's economy each year. However, maintained turfgrass often lacks species richness to support insect pollinators, and residential properties offer poor nesting and habitat sites that are highly segmented. An interdisciplinary group of turfgrass scientists has partnered on the Pollinator-Friendly Lawns in the Southeastern United States project. Funded by the United States Department of Agriculture National Institute of Food and Agriculture. This project seeks to enhance lawn attractiveness and function for pollinating and other beneficial insects through the inclusion of flowering plant species and development of best management practices. Principal investigators met with industry advisors on October 8, 2021, to discuss scientific and extension viewpoints regarding pollinator-friendly lawns and stakeholder acceptance. The investigators include Jay McCurdy of Mississippi State University, Eddie Carlos De Castro, Mississippi State, David Held, Auburn University, and Gerald Henry, University of Georgia. Other advisors in attendance were Tim Ray, Extension Agent in Harrison County at Mississippi State University, Felder Rushing, radio host and meadow lawn advocate in Mississippi, Horticultural Science at North Carolina State University and Director of the North Carolina State NSF Center for Integrated Pest Management, and Jim Crockett, New Farm U.S. Ornamental Regional Sales Manager. Meeting notes. It is important to slowly change the mindset of American lawn people from preferring a high-maintenance horticultural lawn to a lawn that includes pretty flowers and pollinators in different seasons, says Felder Rushing, who is a renowned speaker, writer, urban horticulturist, and flower lawn advocate. He believes that to succeed, the project must focus on biodiverse turfgrass forb systems that work well in our region, the Southeast, and can be easily replicated throughout the country. Felder and others raise an interesting point. Stakeholders may be slow to accept conversions of their entire lawn, so the focus has to start with the conversion of pockets or just the side or back lawn. Jim Crockett, who provides technical training for lawn care professionals, calls this a lawn with a purpose. Jim's expertise and connection to the professional lawn care industry will be helpful in developing long-term strategies for lawn diversity in the green industry. We can use small areas of lawns and make them diverse, maybe starting with buffer strips or areas along fences, so we will create a less fragmented suburban environment and increase pollinator habits, says Jay McCurdy. According to Jim Crockett, Refuge Lawn must help create a structured landscape, perhaps with maintained monoculture turfgrass, alongside a biodiverse flower lawn in the transition between turfgrass and ornamentals or property borders. Much like a golf course rough, says Denisha Seth Carley, who advised Pinehurst during their renovations to restore native habitats. The concept of a fairway, intermediate rough, and tall grass rough is analogous, says Gerald Henry. David Held raises an important question. How do we change the diversity of lawn settings and add value in these scenarios? According to David, we must create an ecosystem that produces quality forage and habitats for bees, not just pretty flowers. We must ensure that the plants and the new management strategy we are promoting will benefit pollinators, homeowners, and the green industry. This requires a shift in societal goals within the built environment. Defining this new aesthetic will require stakeholder input. Dinesha believes that to achieve these goals, it's necessary to evaluate the impact of turf grass species and common cultural practices on forb establishment, persistence, effects on pollinator visits, and maintenance costs. Tim Ray, an extension agent at Mississippi University, says, "It's necessary to understand the influence of age on how people maintain their lawns. Younger generations may be more interested in environmental issues than older generations. For these reasons, understanding human behavior and attitudes towards biodiverse lawns will be an important factor impacting whether the BMPs developed by the project will achieve public acceptance. A significant, yet largely unquantified percentage of home lawns are maintained by lawn care professionals. For this reason, it is also necessary to gauge the attitudes of the professionals and companies that make up the sector." As an expert in the green industry, Jim adds, "The theory and philosophy of lawn maintenance companies in terms of pesticide use are changing. They're decreasing the amount of applied pesticides and improving product formulation to increase safety and efficacy, and companies have been working to develop natural products. What role these products may play in a diversified mixed stand of forb and turf grass species is largely unstudied. Society is willing to change. For example, we need look no further than developments in plant varieties and ornamental species added to home lawns," Jim points out. "In the past, plant breeders have bred plants and flowers for appearance, for their size, color, and so on. However, they have now returned to breeding for resource quality, pollen, and forage." Less than a year into this project, we have had numerous interactions with stakeholders interested in the project. Most stakeholders have responded positively, but some, mainly professional lawn care operators, have questioned the project's objectives. One asked, "So you're telling LCOs not to spray pre-emergent herbicides and not to mow?" and pointed out that this contradicts standard recommendations for weed management within lawns. Another questioned whether the project objectives are an appropriate use of university and taxpayer resources. A challenging part of extension and university-led research is the dichotomy of separating stakeholder groups, such as homeowner versus professional, or monoculture versus mow what grows. This project seeks to bridge these gaps and help to maintain an economically viable professional industry, while at the same time answering the need for biodiverse alternative lawns. Throughout the project, it will be important to gauge stakeholders' receptiveness to alternative and biodiverse turf grass systems. Gerald says, "We need to understand stakeholder motivation. If we can't understand it, it will be impossible to approach stakeholders with changes. To overcome this problem, the project will create demonstration sites to measure stakeholder preference, where lawn care professionals and homeowners can choose between biodiverse and monocultural turf grass and even among individual forb species." According to David, the investigators eventually hope to identify species that provide a flowering sequence that can cover all seasons and can be established within warm season grass systems. Dinesha's experience in sustainable landscapes is key to understanding the needs of stakeholders and practitioners in this project. Along with her staff at the Southern Region Pest Management Center, she has offered to help develop surveys to address stakeholder preferences. On encouraging and promoting biodiverse turf grass lawns, Felder is working on signage proclaiming Flower Lawn of the Month and advocates for a matching social media hashtag, such as #FlowerLawn. Among other ideas, the investigators hope to incorporate BMPs into Master Gardener training, BMP documents, and on the project website, refugelawn.com. The project will also disseminate findings through an extension program delivered by specialists and county agents throughout the Southeast. This extension program will include field days, small group trainings and webinars, publications, and other outreach activities, such as Master Gardener meetings, regional and national stakeholder meetings, etc. Finally, a dominant theme of the discussion centered around stakeholder adoption of BMPs. Although the project is new, investigators and advisors are certain that flowering forbs can be included in maintained lawns. According to Jay McCurdy, the questions, "What will that look like? And how will it integrate into common law and culture of the southeastern U.S. remain? All present agreed on the ideas that BMPs must be easily adopted and practical across a highly diverse range of turf grass landscapes. For more information, follow the project on Twitter at Refuge Lawn and check out the project's website, refugelawn.com. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also visit us at theturfzone.com.
You've been listening to The Turf Zone. For more episodes of The Turf Zone, visit theturfzone.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app.